Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. We're joined in the studio with singer-songwriter Lori McKenna.
Lori McKenna has the life you probably don't, a husband, four young children, and a way up-and-coming career as a singer and songwriter with CDs on the rack and moving. But her lyrics go to the high and low moments of life we all know, love and doubt and mayonnaise jars with holes punched in the lid. Her sound has been said to blend the sincerity of Nancy Griffith, the heart of Lucinda Williams, the raw power of Alanis Morissette, and the clarity of Sinead O'Connor. Her latest CD is entitled Pieces of Me. Welcome, and awfully good to have you, Laurie McKenna.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Hey, you're not blonde anymore. You're brunette. I'm looking at two CD covers. What's natural? Where's the real Laurie McKenna?
I know. It's always changing.
Laurie McKenna, you write music and sing it in a way that's so grown up, and I've jumped in talking about your four kids because it's not what we associate with singers and songwriters, and yet you embrace it and make it the heart of an awful lot of your music. We just heard a cut, Mars, from your latest CD, Pieces of Me. And what parent wouldn't know what this is all about? I mean, I just love you. You've got this country sound, but you're talking first about a hole wearing through this couch of mine. All the cushions are falling out, and then there's a hole wearing in your heart. How did you end up as a singer-songwriter with four kids at the same time?
At the same time? Well, it kind of did happen at the same time, as a matter of fact. You know, I always wrote songs to keep myself busy and to, you know, just that was my outlet, was always writing things down and playing my guitar since I was around 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. And I had my kids young, and I had no intention of ever leaving my house with my songs until I got to be around 27, and I decided that I would give it a shot. You know, I just, you know, it's kind of took that long to get to the point where I was comfortable leaving my kitchen and going out to open mics and things like that, and it just took a life of its own. And has become an enormous part of my life now.
And people respond to it like crazy, obviously, even though this is not teeny bopper love. This is a different realm of love, a different period,
yeah.
The love that parents give to children. Do you find that you're alone in writing about that? Do you have many songwriters that you can reference who have so much of that? The issues of family and parenthood and sacrifice and hope, at the same time you're realizing your own limitations in their songs.
Well, I think that it's all about love. It's just like you say, it's maybe a different perspective of it. And I do meet people that have kids and do this, and you know, it comes from the same place. But I think that part of it is, you know, I got married when I was 19, so
yeah.
I had my kids really young, and I think that for most people nowadays, they experience the love life of a relationship,
mm-hmm.
A lot longer before they get to the kids.
And they experience it when they're in that young, passion-filled time of life.
Right, right. And I think that just for me, that all came. I met my husband in elementary school. You know, we went to school together.
You guys got going.
And you know, we got married really young, and so it. It's funny because in my life I'm really slow at some things and I do other things really productively. So,
well, you're a productive songwriter and you're a productive childbearer. I can't believe that you've got what your children are. But they're all in the young phase. They're all between pretty young and, mm-hmm. and just entering teenage years. So
right.
You're really right in the thick of that.
Yeah.
This wonderful sense in your music of surrendering dreams and fighting surrender,
yeah,
all at the same
definitely.
Time.
Definitely. Because I think that's what it's all about, is picking and choosing, but not letting it go. You can't let it go, you know?
Yeah.
I really think that's important, and I don't think I could ever let my passions for certain things go, or I just wouldn't be the same person if I didn't have my guitar and didn't have this outlet that, you know, that I'm so lucky to have.
Mm-hmm. But you picked that guitar up and went to the open mic when there must have been plenty of Pampers all around the house. Where did you find the ambition, the clarity of purpose to stand up out of that and say, hey, I'm going to take this out to the open mic and get going?
Well, maybe that's what I needed in order to, you know, maybe I needed the kids to, you know, a lot of people when they have young children, a lot of mothers, I've heard other mothers, you know, tell the story is that you can lose yourself in that. And you can also lose yourself in music. And I think that I've, for, you know, since I've been doing this it's been about 5 years since I've been doing this out of my house. I've been trying to find the balance between both and, you know, not lose myself as a singer-songwriter and that's it, but also not lose myself as just a mother. I'm still Laurie and I'm still a person, and I think that it's easy to get lost in motherhood. And you don't really find yourself until you're home alone again and the kids are in college. So I've kind of like just kept that in the back of my mind that I don't want to become somebody else for 18 years and then have to refine myself.
Yeah, hear, hear. Who can't respond to that? We're talking with Laurie McKenna, wonderful, up-and-coming and more than up-and-coming singer-songwriter. And I'm not sure quite how to characterize your sound, Laurie McKenna. It's people say country, but then yeah. It's also got a pop edge to it. It's got a folk edge to it. How do you characterize it? Or do you care? Or is it only when they ask you where to put it in the record store?
Yeah, I don't have an answer to that question. I guess the easiest thing would be to say contemporary folk. I don't know where it is in the record store, to tell you the truth. I don't know what, you know, I haven't checked each store to see where they're putting it, but I don't know what it's called, and I don't think it should be called anything, you know, specifically, and then because then you get into trouble, and you're trying to write for that one genre.
But we're going to talk about that, because genres do inform the way we hear music, the way mm-hmm. we compose music, the way it plays in your own head, even
yeah.
before you've got the lyrics, and you clearly have got the great heritage of country music floating up there somewhere when you dive into your work.
I don't know where that comes from either, because I didn't grow up listening to country music. I grew up listening to James Taylor and, you know, Neil Young, but I didn't so much, you know, country music grow up listening. So it's funny.
Let's hear a little bit of your cut Fireflies from the CD Pieces of Me, Laurie McKenna.
I slept in castles and fell in love because I was taught to dream. I found minutes, bottles, and boat holes on stop. Capture Tinkerbell, and they were just fireflies to the untrained eye, but I could always tell. 'Cause I believe in fairy tales and dreamers' dreams like bedsheet sails, and
Laurie McKenna's Fireflies from her CD Pieces of Me. Laurie, did you ever feel restricted in how you sang about it? Even here you're writing about I've slept in castles. It's kind of that in the wild time before responsibility came. Did you ever have any hesitation about making that the heart of your work? Did you say, think to yourself, I've got to write about wild love and fast cars and, you know, lines of cocaine, because
yeah.
that's what it's all about?
Yeah. No, I think that a big part of it is like going back to that, the fact that I didn't leave my house with my songs mm-hmm. until I was older. I think that was a big part of it, because I never had to write a song to please anybody but myself.
Mm-hmm.
And doing that for so many years at home, I learned to just, you know, to not try to format it in a way that I thought an audience would respond to it. And I'm just lucky that they
boy,
have.
Are we glad you did. Because the end result, like anything that's done purely,
mm-hmm.
anything that's done really personally, ends up speaking to many people in a way that the mainstream just may not.
Yeah, we're lucky that that happens. But
we're lucky that it's happened with you. We're listening to Laurie McKenna. This is Fireflies from her latest CD, Pieces of Me. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Caught frogs and called them princes. made myself a queen. And before you knew me, I traveled round the world. And I slept in castles and fell in love because I was taught to dream.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking with singer-songwriter Lori McKenna. This is her song, Hardly Speaking a Word.
Well, I know your life has been hard. I see it in your eyes and I feel it in your heart. When your eyes move down to the floor and your mouth changes shape and your voice sounds sore, I can hold you close in my arms and tell you that you're special and that you treasure such great charms and that you always keep my heart. But I'm hardly speaking a word. I'm hardly speaking a word. And I know these things should be heard. But I'm hardly speaking a word. And you're struggle never changes me. I'll never be able to see the things you see. They say that you see things differently. Just because it's different doesn't mean it can't be. Hardly speaking a word.
Lauren McKenna singing Hardly Speaking a Word from her first album, Paper, Wings, and Halo, which only came out a few years ago. Lauren McKenna came into the world of singing and songwriting with four children in her world and a husband and a whole life, and you can hear it in every song she writes with incredible richness and sings about that love of children, about love of a man, and about a lot of other things as well we're going to be talking about this hour. Lauren McKenna, I always want to ask songwriters about the issue of honesty. You know, it's hard enough to be honest when you're single and unencumbered, and you can say whatever you think about that man or woman last night, and you know, and maybe you'll never see them again. It's harder to be honest when you're in the web of relationships and commitments that a family represents. How do you deal with honesty, and how does your family deal with it in return?
Well, I think that I kind of feel like there's no point in spending the time to write the song unless you're going to be honest about it. It's kind of like writing in a journal. And if you're going to write a journal to yourself, there's no point in lying to yourself while you're doing so.
A lot of journals have a lock and key.
Yeah.
Your journal is pressed on CD.
Well,
and selling.
It's true. I think that you're right, but I think that I haven't really thought too much into that. I try not to. And the other thing is that my kids love it, and they don't read it. Sometimes I joke and say, you know, they're going to be in therapy about this someday.
No, you're probably working it out. You probably are the therapist.
Yeah. Well, this is my therapy in a way, and if it's something specific about my life, you can tell, but I think that you have to do it that way.
Do your kids or your husband ever come to you and say, Mom, honey, is that what you really feel after the CD comes out?
My husband's great about that. He understands that this is, you know, a piece of art that was created with all different things in mind, and maybe started specifically about something, but then can run in a million different directions from there. And he is fine. He completely understands that, and that's great. Like I said, I just don't see the point in doing it if you're trying to make everybody happy.
Hear, hear. I mean, what's the point? And when you tell that most honest, that most intimate thing, it's probably the thing that everybody will relate to anyway.
Yeah, I think you're right. And the song that I just played, Hardly Speaking a Word, I never thought in a million years that people would relate to that song, because that is one of my most... one of the songs that's closest to my heart as far as right from, you know, this perspective in my head. And I don't really explain what I'm talking about specifically, but you can't explain it too specifically, because then people won't take away what they need to take away from it. And the fact that people do that, and I was amazed at first that people, you know, all different people have come up to me and said, you know, that song reminds me of
this. Thanks for that one. But who wouldn't know that, since I'm yelling when I should be whispering? I should be saying, I love you.
Yeah.
How many times later in bed or later driving along we're rerunning the conversation and saying, why was I so, why did I go off the handle? Why was I such a jerk? Why didn't I tell them what I really
feel? Or even if you have the opportunity to meet somebody that you'll probably never meet before, but you've appreciated in one way or another, like, you know, somebody that you knew about and then you got an opportunity to meet and you didn't say, you know, geez, I really appreciate your work. And then you know. Even that, like, just don't miss that opportunity, whatever it is.
Say it when it's right there.
Yeah, that's kind of...
Have you found that since you went to that open mic and you've been singing and writing more, has it translated into everyday honesty in your life? Or is this the outlet for that honesty you wish you had in your everyday life?
Well, that's true. It is definitely an outlet in certain ways. But I think as you get older, you become... You know, you try to become a person that's truthful in every aspect of your life, and that's something that I've tried to work on. I remember thinking of my grandmother, and as she got older, she was becoming more and more expressive about her feelings in certain ways. And I think that if you don't bother to do that, sometimes you do have to work at it. You'll end up looking back in your life and saying, you know, I really wasn't honest with anybody, including myself.
So. Ah, it's all so much richer. You have put that honesty to work not just for issues of domestic love, though those are very powerful, but also for national issues. You've got a wonderful song, Ruby Ruby Shoes, mm-hmm. About Ruby Bridges, who many Americans will know, even if they don't know,
know
her. Remind us who Ruby Bridges
was. Ruby Bridges, she was. I mean, I think that people remember the little girl, and she was that little girl in the Norman Rockwell painting of the little black girl being escorted to school by the National Guard. And she was sent to an all-white school, I believe in 1964.
The height of the civil rights movement.
Yeah, and she was sent by herself to this all-white school, and she was sent there for first grade, and basically she spent first grade by herself, her and her teacher, because nobody else would send their kids to class that year. And the song came about from a book report that one of my kids was doing, a biography report on the story of Ruby Bridges. So this was the extra credit.
I'd say.
Ruby shoes would take her miles to school every day. Screaming old signs and tell her to go away. But Ruby's will was stronger than the bigots with the signs could ever know. She stopped every morning on the corner and prayed that someday the pain would go, and she'd stop and she'd pray. Walk a mile in Ruby's
Lori McKenna singing Ruby Shoes, taking us back to a moment in the civil rights movement that we've all seen in Norman Rockwell's painting of little Ruby Bridges going to school, young black girl, 6 years old to an all-white girl school. 6 years old, Lori McKenna, I know that you lost your mother. She died when you were six.
Right, yeah.
A number that comes up in that song. How does that loss play out in your voice as a mother, in your voice as a singer?
Well, it's kind of like one of those things that, like the children and like the family, is this big part of me, and I think that in a way that instilled my belief to, like you said earlier, not let go of those certain dreams and things that you have to, you know, hold on to and keep you sane or insane, whichever works. But I don't know. I'm kind of, my husband always says I'm in my own world, and I kind of am in a lot of ways. But I think that it just affected me, obviously as a child, and it just comes out in me every day. I find little pieces of it in songs that have nothing to do with it. And sometimes I look back on things like the song Fireflies that you played earlier. Mm-hmm. And I look back on it, and there's a line that says, "Before I grew up, I saw you on a cloud." And that's kind of like, you know, a piece of it that...
Sounds like mom.
Yeah, I think it kept like this dreamer in me. Mm-hmm. Instead of inhibiting that, it just kind of brought it out more.
An attachment to something that wasn't right there.
Yeah, because I had to like believe that she was somewhere watching over me. Mm-hmm. And I still, to this day, can show argument to that fact that I still believe, I still believe that somebody told me, in explaining what happened, somebody said, your mom's an angel now. And, angels pop up all over the place in my songs too. But I think it's just, that piece of me that I grew up with that, you can't just like pack up somewhere. It just comes out.
Still the energy.
Yeah.
It's still there. Lori McKenna, we're here in the background here, Pieces of Me. Now there's a love song, and a grown-up love song.
Yeah.
I love this very grown-up awareness of the texture of love that's in so much of your work. This isn't child's love. This is real.
No, this is just, that you don't know where it's coming from, but it's just one of those things that just comes right out, and it's on the paper, and that's how it stays.
Let's listen to Pieces of Me from Lori McKenna. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
That's you, close to me.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're with singer-songwriter Lori McKenna. This is her new song, Beautiful Man.
Well, I should have told you I sold my soul to an angel. I should have whispered that world is not my own. I should have wrapped you like a present. I should have gotten to you before you were grown. Beautiful man.
told you I would be difficult. I should have shown you the scars, the scars of my soul. I should have told you I wanted you to take care of me without allowing you to gain any of my control.
Laurie McKenna singing Beautiful Man, a song so new you can't buy it anywhere, but you're hearing it here on Point. Laurie McKenna, it's so good to have you. You're singing Beautiful Man, and I'm thinking, beautiful woman. The way that in this song and so many of your songs, this isn't cutesy or beseeching or hiding in mascara. You're really telling it straight from a woman's point of view. That's the way it sounds anyway. Have we come to that point? Do you really feel free to write as a woman, unfettered, honestly, about your view?
Yeah, I mean, I really don't. I honestly, I don't feel like I have to worry about it. And, you know, like we keep talking about, really, what's the point if you're not going to be honest with, you know, whatever that emotion is.
You're so there. Well, McKenna, you know, it sort of looks like you've got it all. You did the kids early. Now you got the career that's budding so beautifully. Does it feel that way to you? I know from the outside, everybody wishes they had the kids, they had their career started, and then everybody wants to be an artist one way or another. You've got it going. Is that how it feels from the inside of Laurie McKenna?
Well, I keep teasing that I'm going to write a book someday.
That too,
but
geez.
No. It's just, I'm just one of the luckiest people you'll ever meet in your life, and everything has, you know, maybe it's because I'm just trying to do what works for me, but it all has worked out perfectly, and I'm at this point now where, you know, the balancing act between the kids and the music is really working out, and I'm just incredibly, incredibly lucky.
Wow, Laurie McKenna, there's so much we haven't even got to. Pink Sweater, everybody's got to hear that someday. Mm-hmm. Your homage to James Byrd, who was dragged behind the pickup truck and died in Texas, and a gutsy song. And the last song on your album, Pieces of Me, You Are Love. Tell us about it.
Well, that's a love song of letting go. It doesn't really matter which kind of letting go, but you know, I'm gonna let you go, but I wish you, you know, all the happiness that you deserve. You know, that could be, you know, a child grown up or a relationship that just doesn't work anymore.
It sure could. Let's listen to a little bit.
All the heart needs.
see the sun in a winter time, and I know that she cannot be mine. Things left alone are never fine. The world and God above, but I wish you all of happiness, and I know someday you'll find success, but find yourself as nothing less.
You Are Loved from Lauren McKenna. Lauren McKenna, we thank you so much for coming in. It's just been great. I hope you'll come again.
Oh, thank you so much, Tom. It's been a pleasure.
You're an inspiration to us all. Keep writing. Keep singing.
Thank you so much.
And lucky children, lucky husband. lucky us to have you. You can learn more about Lauren McKenna on our website. Log on to onpointradio.org or check out Lori's site, lorimckenna.com. This is On Point.
Better day, the wings of your skin fly away.
In a moment, listening for the sound of the new New York.
Sometime when my smile can say all the heart needs say.
New York, New York, New York State of Mind, How About You? And any number of Gershwin tunes, these are some of the many songs that helped define New York City in the American mind. But when the city changed so quickly on September 11th, some felt the songs should change with it. The editors of the Village Voice called on musicians to write songs in response to the destruction of the World Trade Center. The result is a new CD called Love Songs for New York. It's a benefit for the September 11th fund. Doug Simmons is managing editor of the Village Voice. In this diary, he talks about trying to find new sounds for a new city.
This song's about how much we love New York.
Love Songs for New York was inspired by the events of September 11th. You know, after the tragedy struck the World Trade Center, like many New Yorkers, the people of the Village Voice wanted to just figure out how to respond, do something original and truly useful. And we came up with the idea to put full-page ads in the paper inviting musicians and bands to send songs in to try to deal with the tragedy and to come to terms with it. We wanted to be sure to create a forum for a range of responses, I guess particularly defiance and anger. And in the ad, we asked people to think about what they were going to do when they sat down and wrote these songs and try to explore various ways of feeling and dealing with the issue. So that's one of the things when we pull together the 18 songs. We have raves, we have rap songs, straight-ahead folk songs, celebrations, just flat-out hard rock celebrations of the city, and some obviously some mourning and more tender songs. So we wanted to have just a breadth of emotions. We were looking for a sonic representation of the entire city, and even 18 songs can't really do justice to all of the music you might hear in New York, but that's what we were going for.
So I started out on High Street.
I hear several versions of New York. I hear the Washington Square, sunny afternoon New York of folk singers with their acoustic guitars sitting cross-legged on the grass.
Now you have to take the A-train. There's no more service on the sea.
And then, we're delighted to have African Bambaataa's lay down candles in the rain, and that was inspired by the candle tributes that were built in Union Square shortly after the tragedy. Two songs really jump out for me. Andrew WK's I Love New York City.
I love New York City. Oh, yeah. New York City.
Which is just a big 4/4 booming hard rock song that I can imagine being played at the loudspeakers at Yankee Stadium or at a Knicks game. And the Mekons' I Love an Apple. You could hear it at the stage at CBGB's on any given weekend, and it's sort of a tour of the Lower East Side and all the grime and punkiness of New York City. Those are my two favorites. By putting the call out for original songs and asking people to write songs to address the tragedy, that we would be perhaps giving one of the best contributions of all if we can inspire people to come up with new songs. And I think we did that. I think a lot of these are the kind of things that are going to be played, I hope, for years. It'd be nice to see a standard arise from the project to match, Frank and Liza's New York, New York, or certainly one of the Ramones anthems. But that's what we're aiming for, hoping to get people just to write inspired, loving music for New York City.
Doug Simmons is managing editor of The Village Voice. The CD is called Love Songs for New York. On Point is produced by Micheline Boudreau, Meghna Chakrabarty, Nate DeMeo, Eileen Imada, John Roberts, James Ross, Keith Shields, Karen Schiffman, and Tim Skog. Our senior producer is Graham Griffith. On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Support.